Good morning. Let's take our places. If we want to stand in the presence of the Lord and give him honor and our focus and our attention on him this morning, I want to read a couple verses to get us started. Lord, we just give you honor this morning in our focus and our attention on you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read Isaiah 55, a portion in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what is not for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." And then Isaiah 53 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Thank you, Father. We just give you all of our attention, all of our affection this morning. We quiet all of our inner thoughts, all of our outer conversations, and we just focus on you this morning. You are the bread of life. You have made a way where there was no way, so that we can come and eat of your bread of life and drink of your blood. You are the communion table before us that we feast upon this morning. And we just thank you for the blood that you have applied before the throne of grace. You have applied your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the total remission of our sins, so that we can be free, that we can know you and be in loving relationship with you forever. So we glory in you today. We worship you today. We pray that the high praises of God would be on our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. And we invite the presence of the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, to come here today and to be with us as we minister to you. And we thank you that you are moving in the midst of our situations and our families, and that we will see the breakthrough and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. 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 Two-edged sword in our hands. was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Again. I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. Only you, Jesus, but from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved. Inside my tomb of sin, you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the stronger than the wonder-working power of love.
For the blood applied, thank Touching every
and you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Let's just continue to worship Him this morning. You're holy, Jesus. You're holy. Let's just say that. Let's just declare it this morning. You are holy. You are worthy. You're righteous in all your ways. We thank you for your mercy. We cry out for your mercy, Lord. We cry out for your justice, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you are, for all that you do for us day and night, night and day. We thank you, Lord, for burning in our hearts. Lord, we choose to burn for you. Who wants to burn for him? Who wants to burn for him? Just let his heart, let his love consume you this morning and beyond. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us. You are in our midst. You are in our midst right now with each person here, with each person online. You are with us. You are with us. You are with us. You are with us. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Lord, that you are for us. He's for you. He's for you. He's for you. We just worship you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Even if I don't see it, you're working. You're working in our midst. You're working in our midst. But Lord, even beyond that, we choose to just focus on your eyes. We choose to focus on your beautiful face. Yes, Lord. I just have it on my heart if we could sing that one more time. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it,
you're working.
Yes, Lord. Let's just worship.
Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
That is who you are.
You never stop.
That is who you are, King of the throne.
This is who you are. This is who you are. Just ask him to reveal himself to you more. Ask him this morning, reveal yourself to me, Jesus. Reveal yourself to me, Holy Spirit. I want to know you. I want to know who you are, who you really are. Not who I think you are, who you really are. I want to know deep in my heart.
I want to know you.
I want to be intimate with you. I want to be intimate with you, God.
Jesus,
Jesus, you still every storm, you still every anxious thought by your grace and your love and your mercy. make room for you this morning. We make time for you, Lord. We bow our life before you, Jesus. We bow our life before you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Every second I live, everything I do, it's about you.
It's all about you,
Jesus.
It's all from you.
We take our thoughts and we place them on you right now. We come to your altar. We just come to your altar right now. Holy Spirit, we come to your altar and we give ourselves wholeheartedly to you right now. Right now. He's calling you. He's calling me, saying, come. Come to my table. Come to my banqueting table. Come and dine with me. Just come. We take time. We take time for our King, our God, who's worth it, worthy, worthy and worth it. He's worth it. He's worth every plan. He's worth everything. And so much more. And so much more. Jesus, every person, no matter what age you are, whether you're young, whether you're up there in years, it doesn't matter. He's looking at each person's heart this morning. He's saying, just come, come. I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to come and spend time. We just thank you for your body, Jesus. We thank you for your blood that you made this possible. You made this possible. I won't necessarily read it right now, but in Matthew 21, Jesus is, he's being questioned by the Pharisees about what authority he does these things. He does the works. He's being questioned and tested. And his response is just remarkable. He says, I'm only going to answer this if you can answer me one question. Was the baptism of John the Baptist from heaven or from men? And they didn't know how to respond to that. But the interesting thing is, and they said, well, we don't know, because they couldn't answer that. And he said, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And the interesting thing to me is he revealed who he was to those closest to him. He didn't right there with those who were questioning him because they had ulterior motives. But when we are intimate with him, he's revealing his secrets. He's revealing who he is to us. But he's saying, you got to come close. You can't stay at a distance. You got to come close to my heart. You got to push past what holds you back and saying, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to go to his heart. So we do that this morning. And yeah, sometimes it takes effort. Sometimes it takes deliberateness. In fact, it takes that often. I'm choosing to be deliberate. I'm deliberately seeking you with all my heart. I'm not just drifting. I'm not just waiting for it to happen. But in the waiting, we are pressing into your heart. So I just encourage you, as you grab the elements this morning, just to seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he will meet you because he made this possible. And we just thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Yes, Lord.
Just as there are so many things in the earth right now that are taking place that are fast and furious, Jesus is faster and he's more furious with his love and his power. And so we want to partner with his heart of love. We want to tarry with him And we want to encourage you right now to mark your calendars for our next corporate prayer gathering in April, which is April 19th. It's our Lighthouse Intercession. And it's just helpful to think ahead and see what ways you can shift things around if possible, because the Lord honors that and he backs up what you say yes to. He's so faithful when we're faithful to him. So I want to encourage you. We saw the Lord do incredible things this past Friday, and he just keeps ramping it up. And seriously, the fear of the Lord just keeps increasing, and it's so sobering, but it's so amazing and fun to partner with the King of Kings to see his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So mark your calendars, and these prayer gatherings take place every single month. They're on the calendar. You can check our website. It's on there as well. And just look for those times to come and partake. Amen? Amen? Amen. Bless you guys.
Thank you. 11:11. Who likes that number? Come on. Do we know what that means? Perfect alignment. You guys are smart. Amen. Father, I just thank you as we transition into your word. Lord, you have so many things for us today. And we thank you, Father, that you're always working, whether we believe it or see it or not. You're always working. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for restoring us. Thank you for ransoming us. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are King of our hearts and you are Lord of this house. We praise you and we thank you and bless you. Open our minds and hearts to be able to receive from you, Holy Spirit, that we might be able to concentrate and not be distracted in any way to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. The children are released to their classes and teens to their class as well. Very excited today about what God wants to do. I want to show a book to you that I'm going to encourage you to purchase on your own because it's a great book, and it's called Moving in Miracles and Healing. How many want to see more miracles? How many want to increase in healing? How many want to increase in the supernatural? That's great. This is a handbook. I really like it. It's written by the leader of the movement, Europe Shall Be Saved. And those of us who were there received our free copy. And those who are going to Mozambique get a copy they don't have to pay for. But the rest, you're on your own for $14.99, Destiny House. But anyway, what I really like about this is that it's pretty much broken down into three parts. And the appendix in the back is a compilation of so many scriptures and charts, which I really like looking at things like that because I'll actually look up the verses and read them. But what I love about this is that as you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, you're really delving into the New Testament in this area. It really helps open up your ideas as to how Jesus operated. So it's not just a list of what happened. It's a compilation also of how Jesus did what he did within the list. So at the bottom, some pages, there may be an explanation. There may be some idea that helps us understand how it's set up. So I'm saying that kind of as a holy push to be able to get that. I've looked online and read various things, many, many other things and books outside of the Bible that are biblical over my life, my spiritual life. And what I like about this particularly is a testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, but also the way that it's compiled in the back. So if you're in a situation where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know where that is, I don't know what it is, it's not just a concordance. There are different ways of approaching how Jesus moved. So I like that. In these last days, we really need to be aware of his kingdom heart and kingdom ways. They go together. So if we're delving in to pursue him, as Mike was saying, then we'll want to understand more effectively his kingdom ways. Amen? So, to start out today, I've just really been praying and seeking the Lord as to what's going to happen here in this place in the next few weeks leading up to Resurrection Weekend with the journey to the cross And then, of course, on Sunday, Jesus has raised from the dead. And this is our celebration of that. And actually, it's the most important and the highlight, the holy festival, the holy days for all Christians, even beyond Christmas. And so sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that because we do need to pursue Jesus in this season in new and holy ways because he's looking for hearts that are burning. So this message today is about burning hearts. Do we have a burning heart? Where is our burning heart? And are our hearts within us burning? And what does that mean? And just really sense that all throughout the prophetic world, around the world, any type of watch or prayer group that we're part of, or any way that we're connecting in with what God's doing outside of these four walls, this is the theme. And it may not be called burning hearts, but I want to refer to it as a holy heartburn. So if you think of heartburn, we don't like that. But a holy heartburn, I like that. It's like, Lord, I want my heart to be burning for you. Burning in the midst of a difficult situation where people or myself or yourself would be sick or not feeling well. Burning in a situation where we feel so empowered when we sing that last song. And for some of us, probably even more empowered than the other songs. And we're singing about the blood to him. And it's just like, what is it about that song? It's simple. I love the others as well. Don't get me wrong. Everything is about the blood. But there's something about believing, even when I don't feel it or see it, you're still working. And there's this inside. And there's a push. Everything starts picking up because it's very simple. You can close your eyes and there you go. And you can love it. Love Jesus. Dance before the Lord and just say, yes, increase me. I believe it more and more. But that's what he has for us in the scriptures, is a holy burn for us. And we want to unpack that and look at that in just a moment here. So again, moving in miracles and healing, and this is Jean-Luc Trochel, who is the leader of the movement of Europe Shall Be Saved. And we're going to start right now with a few pictures, and I want to take a look at visually how some of this might appear. And I want you to think about these. There's three or four pictures, depending on whether I use them all or not. And I want you to focus on the pictures and listen and say, Lord, just open my heart. I want it to burn more powerfully and effectively for you. And then if we have time, the last 5 minutes, I have a little video for you. So there's a lot of stimulation here today by the Holy Spirit using, coming into our senses and helping us unpack the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? So let's put the first one up that I think would be the snake. They're like, what? A snake? Yes. This picture, this is a foundational picture, and I really want to drive this home because when we see something like this, we don't like this, and we want to move on to the glory and the honor and the blood and the wonderful things of Jesus. But when we look at this, I want you to think about this next time you're considering that righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. And that's a very familiar verse, and we throw it out, we sing it out, we dance it out, we live it out, and that's in Psalm 89:14. And after this, we're going to look at Psalm 89:14, 15, and 16, because the word foundation, which is what the Lord is restoring inside of all of us, needs to be done and will be done his way. Jesus will proclaim his truth through us any way that he can so that our foundations are so strong that we will be able to withstand anything that comes our way. And sometimes we may deal with something like this in the natural, but the Lord wants us to look at all of our natural circumstances with a spiritual eye and say, show me what it is you want me to see or learn from any situation. We take a look at the green grass out here. We take a look at the ocean waves if we're on a beach or a cruise ship or wherever that would be, and look at the ocean waves and say, God, what are you showing me about you, about your character, about your ways, about your holiness, so that my heart will burn for you in a more effective way. So the devil doesn't come at you through your front door. He looks for cracks in your foundation. Well, I think that's kind of an obvious one. I found this so many months ago, and I keep being drawn back to this so that I'm not demon conscious, but I'm Jesus conscious, knowing that he wants to firm up all of us so that our hearts will burn effectively and they won't be blown out in any way. if the winds start getting a little shaky with us, because there are major shakings going on in the world, and the Lord's going to increase that to shore us up so that we can think properly. The Lord does not want us to be resting on our own perception and our own opinions. And we can say, you know, that's really true. Isn't that true, self? Yes. But then he says, but let me look at your perceptions and your opinions so that I can show you what I say about them. Not what you think. It's true. It's true. But what do I say? What does my word say? How are you to purport yourself? And be open to allowing me to adjust, to change your perceptions or your opinions. Because we all have this, you know, this holy urgency inside of us to be the best we can be, fulfill our destiny, do everything God's calling us to do. Yes, we're designed that way. And we're also designed in that pursuit, that holy pursuit, to be able to say, Lord, I really want to please you. But when we say that, he goes, good, you got it. But now I'm going to show you some things, and it's really going to behoove you to stay open so that I can show you how I look at things that you think you got. When we say, hey, I got this, this is what I feel and think, feels a good word, but this is what I feel, think, or have an opinion on, the Lord says, great, let me solidify that so that you're really, really flowing in the way that will be very helpful for you. And then you can help others, right? We don't want to fall into a trap. We don't want to think about traps all the time. We don't even want to listen to this about traps. Like, come on, get on with the glory. This is part of it. So that's why it's up so long, just to look at it. So we can see here that the enemy isn't going to make himself obvious ever. He is not. He's going to be very tricky, very subtle. And the minute we think we understand his strategy, and maybe we will in certain things, he slithers elsewhere to come and provide a different strategy that we have to recognize. Or the Lord will show us as we're going through a word, or someone else might say something. I listen to people and what they say, myself included, and say, Lord, is that holy? Is that really you? So for me personally, I want to guard my heart of what I agree with, what I believe is true. You know, can you have fun that way? I think you have more fun that way, because you don't take yourself as seriously and you take the Lord more seriously. And that's what the Lord says, I must increase, I must decrease, and he must increase. So the Lord tells us that so that he's increasing inside of ourselves, so that we're actually thinking his thoughts. And then he's able to take the thoughts that we think are really okay, because we feel peace, and he's going to say, you know, that's really, we need to put that over here, get rid of it completely. So let's do that. Let's help each other out. And sometimes it'll just be a holy nudge, and the Holy Spirit saying, that's not for me. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't think that, because what you think comes out of your mouth. Amen? So let's put up Psalm 89. Can we do that? This is very important, and again, a picture to look at this. The picture, there's supposed to be stars or something back there. I don't know if you can really see it. But this is verse 14, 15, and 16 together in Psalm 89. On all of our flyers for anti-human trafficking, everything else, we usually just put Psalm 89, 14. But as you read a little bit further, it just gives you a holy bump forward of what righteousness and justice can look like. So if righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne of God, if you think about this, from this holy place, love and faithfulness go before him and us as well. And if you read it in different versions, it talks about mercy. So the love of God is his mercy towards us, which is why he shed his blood, because he was called to do that, Jesus. And he was called to lay his life down completely for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He endured the cross for us. So we know these things, but the Lord says, I want them to become so real and so personal in this season more than ever before. Doesn't matter the last year, 10 years, 20 years, it just really doesn't matter. The Lord is looking at today. If you're talking to someone about the Lord, today is the day of salvation. If you're thinking about what the scriptures are meaning for you, it's for now. It's for today. It's for our place in our houses and our ministries at the workplace or wherever it would be. It's for now, right now. So this is a now word. This is a word for this moment, but it's also timeless because the Lord is, Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means that we need to be thinking on many different fronts. Whoa, wait a minute here. You just said the words for today. Yes. But if he says, I'm the same yesterday, that means he's Lord over our past. And he wants us to understand our past and look at it through his lens, through his eyes. Amen? And then the same for today, and absolutely the same for the future, so that we can see into the future and pull it into the now. There are things that we can have. I really believe that, especially, not limited to, but in the realms of healings and miracles. I so believe that. I was sharing that the other night at prayer for the Lighthouse, or the Intercession prayer, Lighthouse prayer, Lighthouse Intercession. I was sharing that, and it's very strong in my heart because I'm asking the Lord, Lord, we want to see more things that we had seen in the past. We've seen creative miracles. We've seen dead come back to life. We've seen eyes working that never worked before. We've seen creative miracles of eyeballs. We've seen deaf ears closed, opening. We've seen people get up and walk, lame. We've seen bones healed instantly. That's kind of cool. And all through the scriptures, everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, he healed. He was never too busy. He was never too concerned about something else, whatever that something would be. It's just like, I want to think that way. I want my life to look that way. Yes, even in the midst of all the crazy things that we have in our families, in our workplaces, and blending them together and all the things that we do. Yes, yes, and yes. Because Jesus is present. He's saying, this is a now word because I'm showing up, speaking to you now. So I'm excited about that because that means wherever he shows up, there's an increase. So he's speaking to us. He's saying, now I'm speaking to you. Listen with a now ear, because he who has ears will hear. Open up your ears, spiritual ears. It's not just Revelation 2 and 3, where the angel was speaking. The Lord was speaking through to seven different churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we get excited about that, which we should. But the Lord is also, he has been saying that all the way along through the scriptures. He who has an ear, let him hear. So I want these ears to hear properly, don't you? My eyes, my spiritual eyes, to see properly. So let's finish this verse. Righteousness and just verses are the foundation of your throne. Love/mercy and faithfulness go before you. So they're also foundational. If we think about this, the Lord is always righteous and he's always just. So he's looking for those who will understand what he says about righteousness, what he says about faithfulness. And we're to become that message more and more and more because of his mercy, because of his faithfulness, which are still foundational. So what's the enemy going to slither and try to do in our life? He's going to try to fool us so we think we're not that bad. Whoa. We need to understand that when we're ransomed by the Lord, when we're born again, he gives us a new beginning, gives us a new heart, he gives us a new way, and he says, you got something to shout about. Even if you're a baby Christian, we have a testimony even greater than John the Baptist, even greater than any prophet that lived before him. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because Jesus, as we journey to the cross on Good Friday, he's not there. He's off the cross. He's risen. And the Lord says, I want you to celebrate. But in order to celebrate effectively, really, we need to journey to the cross. The problem is a lot of people get stuck there, and they don't understand the purpose of the cross in our lives individually, which will make a difference in every interaction, whoever we're talking to. Think of family members you don't particularly possibly care for. The Lord says, this message is for you anyway. Or somebody at your workplace, or someone that you see at, you know, Circle K or something like that. The Lord says, it's not about that. It's about what I want to do in you so you can reach them. And that gives me pleasure. So this is about pleasing God. So this season about burning hearts is very important for us, because if there is going to be a spiritual measuring, a spiritual barometer, is my heart burning? If so, do I want it to burn brighter? Do I want a greater burning? And if so, how do I do that? Or can I do that? Or how does that happen? And that's what this season is really about as we enjoy this resurrection season. So then he goes on to say, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. So the blessing comes as we learn to say, all right, Jesus. It's more than just saying amen, praise the Lord, in a text. It's really our whole life acclaiming Jesus wherever we are, even in difficult situations. Situations in our homes that we don't understand to be effectively, don't understand what God may be doing. He's showing us what he wants to do. We all have, if we live with anybody other than ourselves, we have someone else that we are responsible to demonstrate Jesus to. If we're demonstrating Jesus to that person, okay, then we need to demonstrate Jesus the way he says so. And he may say, you know what? I'm going to show you different ways to accomplish what I want to use you for. But without an openness, you may not take those steps. And I want to bless you. I want to bless your family, bless your life, bless your ministry, bless your neighbors, bless, bless, bless. That's God. So if we think this way, it's very logical. The Lord is very, very straight and logical, and we can see what he's doing in the scriptures because we are determined to pursue him and get to know him and his ways. That's the burning life. That would be the holy heartburn type of person. So here, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. So when we learn to walk this out, it means that we have already been through, or we're still in the middle of this process, and we're walking it out. We're journeying. We're walking this out right now. So I just got a message right before I stood up here from Papa Meltari, and he said, tell everybody in Frontline I said hi. Tell my Frontline family I said hi, and I love them. So hello from Papa Mel. Maybe he's watching. I don't know. And he says hello, and he loves you. So greetings to you. And what God wants us to say to ourselves, so what does that mean? Who's Papa Mel? He is someone who came. He's very connected in with our Frontline family, and he has come to Relentless Pursuit since the beginning. He's an evangelist who has traveled the world, been in virtually every nation in the world, and has a message of go, and it's very strong and powerful. And we know him. If those of you who have been here before this time, before Relentless Pursuit, I should say, coming up, then you'll know who he is. But if you're not, I just want to introduce you to Meltari. Papa Meltari, you'll be hearing more about that. I wanted to send his greetings. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. This is a game changer here. We're walking in the presence of God. This is how we acclaim him. We are walking in the presence. So the presence is priority in our life. I've got to stay in the presence. If I'm not in the presence, and I don't know what that means, if I'm not pursuing the Lord and his presence around me, the awareness of him coming close to me, me coming close to him, however you want to say it, the Lord is telling us that in his presence is joy, peace, and righteousness. The joy of the Lord. There's joy in the center of his presence, of who he is, his nature, his character, his being. So we were designed for that, not just for coming to church on Sunday and Tuesday and sending a few happy texts. No, we are destined to do what Jesus did. Jesus was very community-minded. Jesus was very communal. And so Jesus had close ones in, around him, all the time, until he said, I need to pull away, I'm going to be with my Father, which he did. And he did so beautifully. And the Lord wants us to do the same, that we're here, this is our tribe. And he says, whether we enjoy every person or not, this is our tribe. So let me change you in this tribe to help others in this tribe so we both give and we receive. And that's the mark of moving towards more enjoyment of the presence, because we get to see the gold in others and then pull that out. Amen? So here, I love this because it says, they rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. So it started with righteousness. Take a look at the beginning of the verse. Now remember the snake in the foundation. Like, ugh. Right? Remember that picture, but look at these words. Because that other was just a picture of what we know the Lord said, I'm coming to change situations for you, and you'll be changed in the midst of all of this so that you'll be able to really apprehend Psalm 89, 14, 15, and 16. But I love this. They rejoice in your name all day long, celebrate your righteousness. And as I said, look back at the first word. The first word is righteousness. The last word is righteousness. So we need to understand righteousness, don't we? And embrace righteousness. So Jesus, as the righteous one, is always revealing himself to us. It's not enough just to be able to say, oh yes, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, which is part of the, in Matthew chapter 5, it's part of the Beatitudes, which is 5, 6, and 7, but it's part of what God is saying to us point by point by point for blessings. So it's like, oh, well, I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and I want to be filled, but I need to know the righteous one, the perfect one, the one who cloaks me in righteousness. I wear his righteous garments. I'm saved because he's righteous. He's the one that imparts and imputes righteousness, perfect standing with God. And anything that messes that up needs to go. Anything that gets in the way needs to be removed. So it's the enemy's job to mess around with that sure foundation where the Lord says the name of him, the name of the Lord, the righteous one, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, not just a wall, but a strong tower. And then the righteous run into that tower of his names, and they're safe. So everything here is about safety and protection and goodness and blessing. I mean, we can't lose. We are in such a great season, even with very potentially disturbing things for some that are on the horizon, according to the word of God and the prophets around the world who can see what God is saying. But that's okay, because the righteousness of God is forever. The faithfulness of God is forever. The glory of God is forever. His love, his mercy, and his truth and faithfulness are forever. So he's saying, stand firm. Stand firm. We don't want anything slithering around any old foundation. So whatever that looks like, we just pause when we're worshiping, when we're praying, and we say, Lord, what does that look like for me? How's my foundation in you? Is it sturdy? Is it strong? Is it stable? Are there cracks? Are there holes? Are there entrance points? Huh. Well, I don't want them, so I'm going to patch it up. Okay. But if we don't know what we're patching, and we don't understand that Jesus is the one that's going to take and remove all debris that would relate to any slithering serpent, then we would be doing maybe a half job. We don't want to do that. And it's not really our job. It's the Lord's, but yet he uses us and he participates by saying, help, show me. And then he's so gracious because he can move things out of the way so easily. He's just looking for the hungry, burning heart, the holy burn. Holy heartburned person. Do you want holy heartburn? More and more? I just love it because we can't lose. It is so clear in the Word of God. This is beautiful. So think about this when you're thinking about a foundation that might have a snake or something or a crack. Okay, fine. Welcome to humanity. But let's bank our lives on Psalm 89, 14, 15, and 16. Okay? There's another picture, excuse me, that has an anchor and an octopus in it and a lighthouse. Can somebody put that one up? Mm-hmm. I found this on the internet, and I wanted to just show it to you. My favorite part would be the anchor on the left and the lighthouse on the right. And this creature here has many tentacles, and the Lord doesn't want us to be surrounded by anything that could hurt us and squeeze the very life out of us. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be free. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants to see us to see him as the strong tower, and he wants to be the anchor of our heart, the anchor of our soul. And what I love is that when we have these truths presented more and more, we can agree with this and say, yes, Lord, that's me. And then we find ourselves maybe coasting, going, it's cool, I get it. Yep, I'm in peace, I'm in joy, I'm in righteousness. But the Lord is saying, I'm calling you to climb. I'm calling you to go beyond where you are right now, much farther and even faster, so that the enemy, which would be a representation here in this picture, and I just found this. I had never seen this picture before, just like this. And the octopus looks like some big, scary thing, you know, maybe in the ocean to do some harm. I don't know too much about octopi, but I can just tell you the tentacles aren't good. And we want to get rid of the octopus, not just cutting off tentacles. Because if we don't get to the root of all places where octopi can actually reproduce, we don't want that at all. We want to be really, really clean and clear and free. So that's the process that we're in. Because the Lord says, if I'm the anchor of your soul, I want you to think about that. And that will release courage. If we say to the Lord, I just want to have holy heartburn for you, he goes, oh, really? Okay, let me help you with that. But it may not feel so fun, because the Lord's going to say, I'm going to teach you how to have victory over an infirming spirit that keeps coming after you and your family. I'm going to teach you how to actually see healings in your own four walls. I'm going to show you ways of the kingdom to be stronger and healthier. Emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Are you ready for that? And that's going to take action. And so the Lord prepares our minds for action. I'll teach on that another time. I had a podcast that I was part of for Brazil last Thursday, and I had a teaching on that, dealing with our minds and how the Lord scripturally is telling us to prepare. He wants to prepare our minds for action. So anything that we're thinking about that needs to be removed, the Lord is very mindful to do that. Some of us have very powerfully strong minds. We have the mind of Christ when we're born again, but the Lord says, I need to take care of your soul so that you're really walking in the fullness of what I gave you. Because your spirit doesn't sin. My spirit doesn't sin. But my soul, okay? But the Lord says, I still made you a new creature in Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. It's all about what happened at the cross, not what you're like right now or me. Uh-uh. It's what did Jesus do? I need to understand his righteousness. I need to understand salvation. I need to really know why Jesus has done what he's done and what he wants to do with it in me and the people I live with. If we pause what the Lord says you could have, if we do that inadvertently because we're not aware or we hide behind what we think is okay, we're going to miss some of the blessing in this season, and this is a now day. This is a now time. So the Lord is saying, I don't want you to be anchored by anything other than my righteousness and faith in me so that I can show you what it's going to be like where that octopus has not even no tentacles, but it's pulled up by the roots. There's nothing there. I recently had a vision of that, actually on Tuesday night, where I saw a big hand come down, pull up an octopus, and there were these ugly roots, and it wasn't tentacles. And I looked at that and went, whoa, what is that? And because of prayer, because of intercession for certain situations, I saw those roots just, boom, burst into combustible flame. And they lit on fire. It was like the sweetest vision. And that little creature, that big creature, just became nothing. It didn't exist. It's completely consumed by the holy fire of burning hearts. Holy heart burn for each one of us. Another picture that I have I wanted to show you is in Luke 24, 30 through 32. Oh, let's make it a little bigger. Here we go. That's hard for me to see. I have to come up a little higher to see that one. Okay. Can you make that? What's a path? I can do it out of my Bible better than that one. So I can do it. I will do it here with Luke 24, 30 and 32. This is actually something for us to think about because it took place after Jesus raised from the dead. And this is about the road to Emmaus and that Jesus is traveling down the road with people who were disciples, but they didn't recognize the risen Savior. So let me get it. Luke 24. Okay. I love this passage. It's all through the resurrection. It's one of the main passages in the resurrection list of places to spend time in during resurrection season. But for me, I like this all year long, not just during resurrection season. But since we're here talking about all of this, I highlighted this for us today, I believe God was saying. So when we look at 24, 30 through 32, it says, when Jesus had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and then they recognized him. And then he vanished from sight. Please notice the progression here. Then they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And what I love about this, and again, I just encourage you, even with your children, grandchildren, friends, anyone that you're with, familiarize yourself with this passage, chapter 24, what it was like after Jesus raised from the dead, because he showed himself to many people. And this is an example of the Emmaus road that these two disciples were traveling, and they missed it. They knew some facts, but they didn't have burning hearts within them until they encountered Jesus. And he, in his graciousness, because of his righteousness, because of his justice, even though he hadn't ascended yet, he had finished his work on the cross, and he was on his way. So he was appearing to many. So here, with this resurrection appearance, if you will, these people encountered Jesus, and he gave them the word. So they were breaking bread with him. They didn't want him to leave. There was an interaction with them that came and started because they were walking, but he was there as well. So we think, well, this is all up to me. No, the Lord is drawing each one of us today. The Lord is giving this message today through me. I'm just a vessel. But he's saying, my heart is burning for you. And I'm calling you to go deeper into your heart to burn for me. Because you can't love me. You can't do anything without me. And Jesus modeled that all the time. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And without him, I can do nothing. Even when he was in his own hometown of Nazareth in Mark chapter 6, he couldn't perform miracles there, many miracles, not like the noteworthy miracles we've seen all the way through the rest of Scripture, because everybody was always against who he really was. They could not see. And so it hindered what he was able to do for some reason at that time. Whatever faith was required for the working of miracles at that time, I don't know, but the scripture does say that he wasn't able to do the miracles, and he needed to move, and there's a lot of more we can unpack with that. But the point is that Jesus is looking for faith. He's looking for faith on this earth, and he's looking for us. He wants to see us grow in faith. He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He doesn't mention faith there. He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Well, many times we say, well, the opposite of that is faith. Well, really, the opposite of that is love. Because if we have fear, or we operate in fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, the Lord says, I have not given that to you, but power, dunamis power, love, and a sound mind or discipline. And he says, that comes from me. So the Lord is wanting us to increase through these scriptures. This is a scriptural walk with some pictures for us to look at as well, to be thinking about how great this love is that our Father has for us. He also says that his perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:19. He says, perfect love casts out fear, and my love is perfect. So as your heart is burning for me, as there's a holy burn, as there's holy heartburn for me, guess what? Fear just starts leaving. It can't exist. It can't coexist because the Lord has given us so much love. What's the result? He builds our faith. He builds our faith. He's not just, oh, here's a shot of faith. There's a gift of faith, and there will be a release of special faith for the working of miracles for sure. But as far as a way of consistency to become that burning one even more effectively, the Lord is speaking to us about his great love. I love this. I love love because his perfect love casts out fear. When you see a snake around a foundation, like a picture that you just saw, there's fear. If the snake is able to get through in any way, that's a suggestion to us of looking at this from a word picture, that fear is somewhere. Fear is still present or existing, or there's an openness. There's something going on where there may be tentacles of fear from something that has plagued us, maybe through our family line, through our bloodline, through our own experiences, through our own place that Jesus says, I have called you to walk in my perfect love. So the Lord will perfect us, mature us in his love. Okay? Our concept, our view of how great God's love is for us is what he's looking at. And he's helping us with. He's saying, I'm going to do something so amazing for you in this season, today. This is a game changer. I love that phrase, game changer. I always like to see something increase, like, ah, it's an aha moment. Aha, I see it. I have this struggle or this weakness, or I might. I'm not going to navel gaze. I want you to show me, Lord, but I want to be open so that you can bring blessing wherever there's a weakness. That's all this is about. We want a firm foundation so that we can keep building. And another message will be that we are heavenly stones. We're priestly stones. And I'm not going to get into that right now in Timothy. But the Lord has a plan. He's the cornerstone, but he needs that foundation so strong. We don't want to move beyond his movement. He's going to take us, and he's going to get us, and he's going to say, let's go. You follow me. You follow me. When he called the disciples, he wasn't messing around. He said, you, drop this, come with me. He wasn't some meek and mild little, you know, Jesus in a manger that doesn't make a peep. It's just not the real Jesus. If you know Jesus really well, and you know his voice, you'll know that he's very strong, and he's very powerful, and you don't mess with Jesus. And if you've ever had anything demonic come against you and experience the power of God, you'll know that it's not even an equal match, not even near an equal match. When Jesus comes and shows up on the scene, everything changes. And every demon, every principality, every power, every darkness, every wickedness in high place that would try to mess with you is gone. And there's a ferocity in that. It's not timidity. It's not passivity. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, you don't want to be too aggressive here. Come on. You ever mess with anything that's wicked? There's an aggression that comes upon, that rises up, because the aggressively kind, perfect one lives on the inside. and says, I'm going to give you boldness and courage like you've never seen before. You won't even recognize yourself. It's like, whoa, who is that? That's what we need and we want in this last day. We were in prayer on Friday night, and there was a long meeting before that I had personally with someone I'm not going to go into right now that really took the holy fear of God and the holy wisdom of God to know what to do and say exactly what needed to be said. And I can firmly tell you that what I said was from the Lord, because I was burning, and it created a change. And it was also scriptural and right, and the Lord was leading me. So I know that. So I came into this meeting on Friday night that was supposed to be 7 to 9, and it was 7 to 11. The minute I got, or close to it, the minute I got home and walked in, there was a call. And it was a life and death call. Life and death. Death means you die. You're gone. It was that strong. And it was there was no time to say, excuse me, I've just had a long day. But there was a holy ferocity and intensity that came upon me, Pastor Bill, for hours. And it was like, you don't mess at all. There is no slithering snake, and there's nothing that's going to take out this person. Uh-uh. It's just not going to be. But that's what it was, and it was life and death. And so when the scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue, you better recognize what that means. And that might make people mad, like, oh, you're being too strong. We just all need to get along. We do need to get along, but it's spiritual unity that God gives us. And he's saying, you follow the tenacity of the Spirit because you've got such a holy burn inside. It's a consuming fire. And you're going to go a lot farther, faster, and you're going to see changes in your own family and circumstances, I believe, in this season, much more quickly than the last season. I really believe we're in accelerated time. And the Lord is saying, I'm giving you a now word. Take it for yourself. And your prayers and your meditations, your declarations and decrees are going to make a difference. And then you follow it up with action. And you'll have the wisdom of God to know what to say and do. Because sometimes the sweetest looking little people have demons. And we don't recognize it because we don't want to. And the truth is that the enemy is after the next generation. And I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about them. I'm serious. And we have to be smart, wise. Okay? There's no time to play around at all. These are really important things that we're talking about. And interestingly, when I give something, a message like this, I have such incredible peace. I mean, I'm just ready to just jump up and down and just say, ah, let's do this. Come on. Let's jump in. Come on. No slow-mo. Uh-uh. In every part, in our worship, in our intercession, we're not in slow-mo. I can't take slow-mo. It's not that I'm not meditating and crying out for the blood. I don't mean that. But I'm saying slow-mo makes me crazy. I'm looking for Jesus. I want to be in accelerated mode, whatever that is. And sometimes that's bowing down and shutting my mouth, and I'm on my face, and that's it. That slow-mo, that may not be slow-mo at the moment if I am in that powerful, dunamis, peaceful, aggressive mode. How can you be peaceful and aggressive? You can. Why? Because the scripture says so. Amen? Let's turn in to Matthew 11, 7 through 15. And I really think that today, and we're going to see a little video here in a few minutes. I really believe that the Lord is saying, you know, we may have veiled judgments, veiled opinions. And here we are going through the word, and we're here together. I mean, we're here. This is really cool. You guys came. You're listening. You're here. You're not leaving. But the Lord says, I've got to get that out. I've got to get that rooted out. That cannot be in your foundation at all. Any kind of judgments. I'm the judge. Hello, says Jesus, the righteous judge. But we need to understand that. So judgments are going to look like something. And when we can see it in others, whoa, we better take a really close look at our own self. Because there may be opinions and judgments we're not recognizing as opinions and judgments. We call it discernment, and it's not. That's that place of the kingdom that's scary cool, but whoa, It's a wake-up call for all of us. Yeah. I saw on Facebook somebody who was talking to Roland Baker, and he found him alone in some place, and he was on a podcast, and this guy said, I just thought I would talk to Roland Baker of Iris Global Ministries in Mozambique and around the world. And he's one of the leaders, if you don't know who he is. And so this guy said to him, how do you get the anointing? How do you increase the anointing? And he asked him, he thought, I'm going to ask this theologian or someone who might be considered that. You know what? Roland turned to him and said to him, I wouldn't worry about that. You need to go, blessed are the pure in heart. Go get a pure heart before God. Ooh, ouch. Because he was after the wrong thing. And Roland knew that. And it changed that guy's world. It's like, oh, okay. I'm not understanding. But I felt the ouch because it was a holy spank for a holy heart burn to occur in greater measure. Okay, Matthew 11, 7 through 15. One second. Let me pull it up here. And this is dealing with Jesus' tribute to John the Baptist. And John was going to be killed. So Jesus is giving tribute to him. John is still alive at this point. Obviously, Jesus is walking this earth. But he's lifting him up. And he's letting people know. And you can feel the tension, I believe, when you're reading this, because there are people who may be thinking something else. I would purport that that's true. And Jesus is coming in and just trying to, you know, in a holy way, nail them to challenge their thinking. Why? Because he wants them to be free. And he doesn't want somebody to think something that isn't true. Because we can be considering ourselves righteous judges, but not be righteous judges. We could have self-righteous judgment. That's a scary thought, but not really, because if there is self-righteous judgment, we want to get rid of that. And we want to be humble enough to say, Lord, I'm not going to read one more passage in my life about a Pharisee without asking you about me ever again. Because we don't want that, any of us, right? So Jesus's tribute to John. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Why do you think he asked them that? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? Really, why are you there? In other words, I can see through you. Why were you there? Why does Jesus ask questions? He already has the answer. He's not trying to get an answer. He's trying to help people examine themselves. A man dressed in soft clothing. Those who wear soft clothing are in the king's palaces. He knew what they were thinking. And they thought, ooh, who is this guy, John the Baptist? We're hearing he's kind of radical. He's out there eating locusts and wearing fur and all that. But he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is in hand. So he's a forerunner. And he's very, very important because he's written about in Scripture. But he's the only one. If you think about Abraham, think about Moses, think about Nehemiah, they all had interactions with the Lord where they have put specific demands in their interaction on the Lord. I mean, they're having holy fellowship with God. Moses saying, hey, help me with this. I'm not doing anything unless your presence goes before me. Okay, then there's Abraham. What does he do? And he says, listen, we got to talk about the number of righteous men so you don't blow Sodom out of the water. Right? And Nehemiah said, what do I do about building this wall? That sounds impossible. So there's this real closeness with these prophets from the Old Testament. But then there's John. And he's still considered the old, even though he's a forerunner. But the cool thing about John, who ended up getting beheaded, is that John actually was the one who saw his cousin right there. And he said, that one, I'm not even fit to tie his sandals. Repent. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is John. So he was a true forerunner. And we're here welcoming Jesus back in who knows how many years. And God's saying, I got to mess with you guys. So you're really walking the right way. Because I want to release great blessing, but I want your foundation to be so sure that it's not just one snake I'm going after, it's everything that could possibly cause you to implode or cause you to have a crumble or cause you to have a shakedown that you're not supposed to have. Because there's going to be a whole lot of people who may not be able to stand, and you've got to help warn them, and you've got to help them. So we're living in a very important time. This is exciting, isn't it? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. Next. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one whom it's written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, now if you ever read that, you better stop, get a cup of coffee, shake it down. I'm not going to go past this until I center and I know exactly what Jesus wants to do with this. If you've read this passage 1,000 times, good for you. But when he says truly, like, whoa, every word he says is vital, but truly, he's saying, pay attention, kids, big time. Among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Can we read that again? That's us. Are you kidding? Because we're born again. We've got a testimony. Some of us may still be babies and we're maturing. But I think really, in the scheme of things, we're all babies. When we see Jesus face to face, like, oh my gosh. But he wants us to mature. So we're mature children. Truly I say to you, let's do it again. Those among you who are born of women, there's not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Okay? Put your hand on your chest. I'm greater than John the Baptist. Just say it. I am greater than John the Baptist. I am greater than John the Baptist. That may feel like blasphemy to you, but you can add, because the greater one lives inside of me. Let's do that. I am greater than John the Baptist because the greater one lives inside of me. Do you believe that? If not, there's probably some snakes. Let's keep going. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Now, Jesus just said, truly, truly. So I think something's going on here. The Lord is trying to help us see that maybe what psychology tells us, counseling tells us, everybody who studies the mind and the will and the emotions tell us a certain way of behavior. And if you act this way, then this is who you are. Well, I'll tell you what. I think there's a little call for some violence here, and that wouldn't go well in some circles, because the Lord is telling us who lives on the inside of us, really who is the violent one. Let's talk about that so we don't. When you quote me, if you do on this, make sure you have the rest of it so we understand this. For the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Can you back that up, please? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Let's just leave that there. I've done word studies on these words, and I'm not going to spend the time to go through the word studies, but I will tell you that these words are power-packed, and they are speaking about us, because this is from John the Baptist on, meaning Jesus' resurrection, crucifixion and resurrection on. From John the Baptist, who was not born again, to all of the disciples, and from that place on, all of us who are born again. And we are to apprehend what Jesus has accomplished at the cross, what Jesus has accomplished by being buried, what Jesus has accomplished in the resurrection. We are to enforce that as his ambassadors of peace and reconciliation, as forerunners for the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And whatever that looks like, it's going to create a great tumult in the spirit. When we're recognizing what angels are for, and what privilege we have of connecting with the angelic realm that the Lord tells us to connect with his way, because he's captain of the angel armies, get that right, then we'll understand there's a whole lot of battle and war going on, and I need to be able to understand it so that I participate wisely. Because if I'm going to be an enforcer of Jesus, because the greater one lives inside of me, and Jesus Christ himself says, greater works will you do because I go to the Father, I better know what I'm talking about. So there is a whole lot going on. If you think about it, how many of us can easily press through, don't raise your hand, praying for 1, 2, 3 hours easily, just like, man, my mind's not wandering, I'm just praying. There's probably going to be a battle. It's probably going to look a little iffy, like, oh, just give me that cup of coffee. I don't know, I'm going to shundai, and then I can come back. But then shundai, so I don't have to even think about where it's going next. And I'm all about praying in the Spirit at all times. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that there's a battle even for prayer. There's a battle for intercession. There's a battle to live rightly. There's a battle that God tells us that we're in, and that's why he wrote in the Bible, Ephesians 6 is in there. So think about this. I love this verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Shaking's going on, and violent men take it by force. Force. We're not passive at all. Okay? If we have tendencies that need to be taken care of emotionally, fine. But let's not call something what it isn't. Because there is strength and endurance and power in the Spirit that we're going to need in these last days. I will tell you that the person I was speaking to before I came to prayer on Friday night, that's what he needed. And it shook him out of a place of, I think I'm head down. I'm going up now. And my voice was probably even calmer sounding than now. But it was power-packed with words of fire and power. Amen? Okay, next. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah, who was to come, which I'll explain another time, but this is the last verse. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the Lord is saying, you may not understand this, but I'm giving it to you so you can. So seek me while I may be found, because you will understand that. And you will increase. So I believe right now we're going to show this 5-minute clip. And this is a Bill Johnson clip on a burning heart. It's interesting. I came across this and I've watched it. And I encourage you to watch that if you should decide to do that. This is really a good challenge at the end. It's the last 5 minutes. I think you'll be blessed by this. And Bill Johnson is the leader of Bethel Reading, a senior leader there and a well-established prophetic voice in the world. And if you need to have any questions answered about Bill Johnson, I'm no expert, but I certainly have enough information about his life, his character, his teachings that I can help you if you ever have questions about that. Okay? So we're going to show this. And one thing I really want to say about this is that the Lord is going to use him to just pray over us.
Who
at the
is?
End, at the end. So just ask. You can always watch this later. Just receive. You don't have to write everything. You're free to if you want, but it's kind of hard with him and writing fast. So it's up to you. You can always watch it online. So let's be blessed for 5 minutes here.
There for moments before he went to the Father. What moved him? That love. In John the Baptist, Jesus was moved by the faithfulness of a man that would pour out his life for Jesus to come on the scene. And he said, he's the greatest of all the prophets. When John the Baptist is killed, it's in chapter 14 of Matthew, it says, Herod sent, in verse 10, and had John beheaded in prison. Verse 12, his disciples came, took away the body, buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Look at the next phrase. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place. We don't know what Jesus is processing, but we do know he had the same emotional framework that we have. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So there must have been some sort of a challenge emotionally, mentally, to this that he was facing, that he saw this man that he had just praised three chapters earlier as the greatest prophet, greater than all of them in the Old Testament. He acknowledges his significance. And now he hears that John the Baptist has been beheaded. It was so challenging that Jesus, the Son of God, sought for a place to get by himself. The very next scene, he's with a multitude, and he multiplies the food. They are all fed. What does he do after that? It says in verse 23, when he sent the multitude away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. What's the point? In crisis, get alone with God. In victory, get alone with God. The very next story, as it says, every person that came to Jesus that was able to touch his clothing was healed. The very last verse of this chapter. What's the point? Stewarding our moments. We all know how to pray when we're in trouble. We pray instinctively when there's a problem. People that don't believe in God pray instinctively when there's a problem. If you're up there, right? But not all of us get alone after a great victory. And it's in those moments the metal that we are made of, so to speak, is formed. And the great breakthrough came following that second time praying, get alone, when there's victory. It was in that next moment. Now, anybody in the crowd that just touches cloth is healed. It was such an extraordinary anointing that anyone that just bumped against him had access to a miracle. It followed not prayer in trouble. It followed prayer in victory. I believe this heart of adoration that the Lord is, I believe, wanting to impart for us today as a church family. I know I've made reference to this for years, so I understand it's not new. But I do believe there's an impartation today. I believe he brought this to my mind because in declaring it, there would be burning hearts all over this room that would find it easy to just turn affection towards him, to anchor into that place of glory, of presence, in that place to draw from this wonderful, wonderful God, and from that place see effective prayers. I want to shape the course of history with my prayers like you do. But sometimes the strength of our prayer is actually determined by the place I pray from. So, Father, my cry for us as a church family, my cry is that you would impart a grace for this right now, that we would find our hearts burning for you at the most unusual and sometimes awkward times, sitting on the plane, in the hotel, at our neighbor's home, wherever, driving to get groceries, just that we would be a people that just knew how to cultivate the burning heart of affection that refuses to be offended, that refuses to embrace resentment and all the stuff, that just a people, Teflon people, because our hearts are burning for you, nothing sticks. Nothing of the inferior sticks to a burning heart. Nothing of the inferior sticks to a burning heart. God, I pray that you would impart this grace to us today. Amen. I'm going to let you go in just a moment.
Amen.
But before I do, I want to make sure that everybody...
Amen. So the word here in verse 36 in chapter 14 is, and they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured. So, Father, we agree with what we've heard today, and we thank you, Lord God, that you are taking us deeper into the realm of burning hearts, that we would burn for you, Lord, in ways that we've never burned before as of today, in deeper ways because of you, because of what you've done, and because of what you're telling us. And we thank you, Father, that we also pray and burn from a place of victory, from a place of seeing with thankful and grateful hearts what you're telling us was ours, to see the enemy being defeated in different aspects of our life. But Father, with that, we know that you have many things for us to accomplish that you want to work out after the counsel of your own will in our lives, in our families, for now, for today. Thank you, Father, that we go deep today and we don't settle for a process that is slowed down because of our unwillingness to allow you to take us completely through what you want us to go through in the time that you have for us right now. So we thank you, Father, that we are on your timetable, which is an accelerated timetable, if we're open and honest before you because of the signs of the times and where we are. We are forerunners. Jesus, you're coming back soon. So we thank you, Father, that you're raising up the John the Baptist, the Daniels, the Elijahs. You're raising up the Esthers and many others, not just in our children, but also in us. So we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that today you've opened the eyes of our understanding that we would remember that you are the one who is saying, this is why you're able to stand. And now I'm going to help you do more than stand. I'm going to help you wield that sword and free others. So thank you, Father, that we're moving. Today is an action day. Today is a movement day. And Father, I thank you that there is no confusion in the Spirit. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the freedom in our thinking today and for what you've imparted, that we would receive from you the grace, the empowerment to be able to step in and do what you would have us do based on what you've already done and what you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it be. We thank you, Lord, that our minds are strong, our hearts are fortified, and that we are bolstered right now to be able to take action steps beyond where we are. When we see things that are not working, we're asking you to show us why. And that's going to take something. And even if they are working, take us deeper. So show us, Lord, how we can be your kingdom men and women. Thank you, Father, in this hour beyond what we've ever experienced before. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We are finished, and there's an announcement here. And we're ready to say enjoy each other. And we'll see you Tuesday, but we have a brief announcement.
Yes, we have a wonderful new family member in the house. For those who don't know, we have baby Aurora, and let me get her full name for you, Aurora Ivana Nicole Faith Miller, who was born on March 15th, 7 pounds, 11 ounces, 20 and a half inches. So continue to pray for Andrew and Andrea and baby Aurora in the midst of this. They say we are so thankful to Jesus for her safe arrival and beautiful life. So that's a new precious addition to our frontline family. And I also want to announce that coming up in 2 weeks is Good Friday and Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. So all of that together. Denny, if you could pull up that Good Friday video. We will be having an interactive time here at Frontline to be able to walk through and experience the journey to the cross in the midst of being Good Friday. And then on Resurrection Sunday, we will have breakfast here at 9:30 before the service. Here is a family. Invite your friends, invite your family to come join us. And we will be here at 9:30 for breakfast on Resurrection Sunday. But here's a little snippet of what Good Friday will look like.
I've heard all the miracles and the stories of what he's done. I just heard a story of he raised that little boy from the dead. He just told you he was dead, but now he's alive. Isn't that crazy?
And then a few days later when they were about to have my burial, this man came up to me and said, "Get up, my child."
I got up and I came here.
You guys want to hear about a miracle? Yes! Come on in.
Yes, so I did. And now I can walk and jump.
There's no need to be hungry. There's plenty of food here. Come join our group. Sit down.
Getting ready for the Passover. If you hurry quick, you might be able to catch him.
This is the bread representing my body broken for each of you.
Amen. So this will be an evangelistic outreach at Good Friday. So invite those that have been on your heart. Ask the Lord who you need to invite to this to be able to be a part of it. So we just are just praising the Lord and so excited for what he's going to do. Thank you for praying into this. Thank you for asking him who he needs to bring here, who he's drawing. So we will see you all then, as well as Tuesday night is this week, and healing rooms is also this Friday as well. So bless you all. If you need physical healing, come Friday night from 7 to 8:30. Amen.